And now, Jim Dearman.
It has weathered all the storms of hate. It has withstood all the thunderbolts of wrath. It has triumphed over the edicts of tyranny. It has endured all the anathemas of infidelity. It has conquered all the gnawing teeth of time. It has outlived, outlifted, outlooked, outloved, outreached, outranked, and outblessed all other books. Yes, it is the Bible which is described in those words from an unknown author. The Bible has had its critics over the years, those who have leveled attacks against it, but this book from God has withstood those attacks. From whom have the attacks come? And how does the Bible answer them? These will be the two areas of discussion in our next two studies together. The attacks on the Bible and the answers from the Bible to those attacks. This is an important topic. And as we begin with one of the attacks that comes from atheism. It's a frontal attack. Atheism attacks the Bible by attacking its author, God Himself. Despite the evidence to the contrary, the atheist insists there is no God. The psalmist long ago wrote, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork." You see, God has given man more than enough evidence to believe in Him, and if He exists, the Bible would be the logical outgrowth of God's existence. God would naturally seek to reveal His will to men, to tell man of God's love and to teach man what God requires of him in response to that love. This God has done, but the atheist turns his back on the evidence. We'll have more to say about that evidence itself later. Another of the attacks on the Bible comes from the agnostic, who is different from the atheist only in degree. The agnostic simply says he cannot know there is a God because there is not sufficient evidence. He doubts the existence of God. But again, the evidence is more than adequate to answer the agnostic's doubts if he would only examine that evidence with an open mind. The Bible itself declares that we may know God. In fact, it tells us we must know God or be lost eternally. David advised Solomon, his son, "As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father, and serve Him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts." He then says, "If you seek Him, He will be found by you. But if you forsake Him, He will cast you off forever." That's 1 Chronicles 28:9. In the New Testament, in 1 John 2:3, John writes, "Now by this we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments." To know God, we must know Christ. And to know Christ, we must know His Word. His Word is the New Testament, which is our standard of authority in all religious matters today. You see, all of God's Word is inspired by God. God breathed, and that's the literal idea of the word inspiration. But the New Testament is the new law, the last will and testament of Jesus Christ. It's the law of Christ, and it's the law under which we serve today. The law to which all men are amenable today. But another attack against the Bible comes from apostasy, or a falling away from the truth. In 1 Timothy 4:1, beginning, Paul writes, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth." Then Paul writes, "For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving." Again, those are Paul's words from 1 Timothy 4:1-4. Now, he predicted an apostasy. Apostasy, or departure from the faith, was predicted by other inspired writers. It represents an attack on the Bible because the one who departs from the truth that he has once embraced, having learned that truth from the Word of God, is turning his back on the Word of God. He is turning his back on the Bible. He is saying he no longer trusts the Bible as his guide. By his action, he tells those around him that the Bible is not a book that should be followed. Yes, he is attacking the Bible. And so we've seen that the atheist attacks the Bible by attacking its author. The agnostic attacks the Bible by doubting whether there's enough evidence to even prove the existence of God. Therefore, how could the Bible be shown to be from God? And the one who apostatizes attacks the Bible by turning his back upon that which he had once embraced. Those who have promoted denominationalism have also attacked the Bible through this form of apostasy. You see, denominationalism is a departure from the Bible's teaching concerning the church, the one pre-denominational church about which we read in the New Testament. God has never approved of doctrinal division, but rather He desires, yes, He demands, that all believers be united in one doctrine, in one system of faith. I want you to notice what Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, a church that was dividing over personalities. In 1 Corinthians 1, 10 through 13, Paul wrote, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Paul goes on, "For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you." Then Paul went on to explain specifically what those contentions were. "Now I say this, that each of you says, 'I am of Paul,' or 'I am of Apollos,' or 'I am of Cephas,' or 'I am of Christ.'" And then Paul asks, "Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul?" Those are all rhetorical questions. Paul was not seeking information. He knew the answer. "No, Christ is not divided," he was asserting. "No, Paul was not the one crucified for you. And no, you were not baptized in the name of Paul, but in the name of Christ." You see, Paul here clearly condemns the division that existed at Corinth, and he called upon the Christians there to follow Christ and not men. Now, in principle, does this not address the denominational division that exists in the religious world today? How many denominations exist today because men have violated this inspired teaching and have set up religions based upon the traditions of men and not the Word of God? We need to think about this very honestly and carefully. You see, the Bible in no way approves such division in the name of Christianity. How much confusion has been created by this division of denominationalism? And such division becomes a barrier to belief. How do we mean? Well, it causes many to ask, "If you cannot agree as to what the Bible says, how do you expect me to believe it?" You see, in the Lord's Prayer for Unity, recorded in John 17, Jesus prayed that all believers would be one. That is, that they would be united in Him. Now notice the effect of such unity. Here's what Jesus prayed. "I do not pray for these alone," He was speaking of the apostles at that time, "but also for those who will believe in me through their," the apostles' word. Now listen very carefully. "That they all may be one." Listen closely. "As you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me." Again, that's John 17, verses 20 and 21. You see, Jesus prayed not just for His apostles, but for all who would believe through the teaching of the apostles. He prayed that all believers would be united so that the world would be drawn to that unity, that oneness. But is this the case today? No. Because of denominational division, there is much disunity and confusion. However, we may go back to the pure Word of God and be part of the church for which Jesus died, the pre-denominational church for which Jesus shed His blood, the church, that is, that existed before any denomination reared its head. How do we go back and become a part of that institution? We do it through belief in Jesus, which causes us to fully repent of every sin, to confess Christ as Lord and Savior, and to be baptized, buried in water for the forgiveness of our sins. It is at that time that the Lord adds us to the one church of which we read in the Bible. As we serve Him faithfully in that church, following the teaching in the New Testament about worship, about the work of the church, about the organization of the church, about all matters, that are unity, that are essential to unity, we then are a part of the one church for which Jesus prayed and for which He shed His precious blood, the church that He established, the church that He built. And you see, as we pointed out from John 17, 20 and 21, the basis of that unity can only be as God and Christ are unified. Jesus said He prayed that all believers would be united. Notice how He said it. As you, Father, are in Me and I in you. As we are united, I want all believers to be united. Now, question. How are God and Christ united? Are they united doctrinally? Why, of course they are. Did Jesus, as He came to earth and lived among men, teach anything different and contrary to what the Father's will was in heaven? Of course not. In fact, He asserted just the opposite. He came to do the will of the Father in heaven, to teach that which was in complete harmony with the Father in heaven. And it's that same basis for unity that we must follow to have the unity that pleases God in Christ today. Now, there are other attacks against the Bible which could be discussed. Apathy is an attack on the Bible. People may possess Bibles, but the Bible does not possess them. They have little interest, in other words, in the regular study of the Bible. What about you? Are you really interested in studying the Bible? I believe the fact that you're listening to this program indicates interest. But we must study to show ourselves approved unto God. We must be willing to lay aside traditions, prejudices, and anything and everything that stands between us and the truth. The question is, are you willing to do that?